Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, podcast audience. That's our upbeat opening to the Kenny and Rob podcast half hour. Hey, listen, every Tuesday night, 7:30, Kenny Hodge, branch president, Columbus, Ohio, and Robert Frost, member, Columbus, Ohio, local 304, we get together and we try to break down some of the barriers or some of the reasons people don't file or file their injury compensation claims. And we know, you know, when you look at it in its totality, it can be overbearing. It can be overwhelming. What we try to do is look at the forms, talk about situations, and guide you so that you get what you are entitled to as per federal law. And again, much larger than postal law. We talk about injury compensation. That's federal. That's federal. So let no one tell you any different as far as what you are entitled to if you should become injured at work. And let me say, it is my desire or prayer, if for lack of a better word, that no one gets injured at work. But let me tell you, that's why they call it an accident. It's going to happen. And when it happens, we want to arm you with the right information so that you can be compensated for the injury you sustained. So without further ado, we got some callers on the line tonight. But I got my man Rob Frost with me tonight. How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing pretty good, Ken. Thank you.
Okay. Hey, tonight what we want to talk about is a CA-1 form. And before Robert starts to break the form down, let me just say this to the employees, what you're about to hear. We're going to break down a CA-1 form for you, explaining to you one of the forms you're going to need to fill out should you become injured at work. It's so sad when management gets trained in injury compensation, but yet when an employee gets hurt, they act as if they have no clue on what they should be doing. The CA-1 form. Hey, Robert, go ahead and start at block one and take us through the CA-1 form.
Okay. Block one is your name, last name, first, middle, and I'll probably say this numerous times, but if you don't put it in that order or in the order that the form tells you to put something in, they will send it back saying it's incorrect. It sounds stupid, but that's what they do. Workers' comp, while it's there for you, is not really for you.
It's not user
in other friendly. Words, they're going to do the minimum amount that they have to. They're going to make you do all the work. So last name, first name, and middle, your Social Security number, then your birth date of birth is in line at block three, month, day, and year. And every time you do anything with workers' comp, when it says year, they want the four numbers of the year. 2019, for example. Your sex, your home telephone number, your pay grade as of date of injury, level and step. Seven is your home mailing address. And if you have an apartment number, please remember to include it. Then, of course, city, state, and zip code. Number eight is your dependents. Wife or husband, children under 18 years old, or other. You may have a parent that that basically can't function on their own, and you're taking care of them. They're considered a dependent. Nine is description under the description of injury line. excuse me, is place where the injury occurred, and be specific. For example, that they have right on the form, second floor, main post office building, at 12th and Pine. Also, put the city and the state. Zip code isn't important for that one. Number 10 is date the injury occurred, month, day, and year. The time it occurred.
Hey, Robert. Let me back us up for 1 second. Back to block 10. The block 10. Date injury occurred. Now, what if, and I know this might sound crazy, what if I got hurt? I remember getting hurt maybe a year and a half or 2 years ago. I kind of remember getting hurt at work. I kind of remember telling my supervisor. But if it's about 2 years since the initial time, what date do I put there? Do I take how do I answer that?
Easiest way to answer that is to go back through your doctor's records and see when you went to see the doctor. If you did see a doctor for it, use that date. If you did not see a doctor for it, make your best guess. But make sure it's a day you would have actually worked, not one of your days off.
But if I have to go back, let's say 2 years, and the post office has no record of that, I still go back 2 years?
Yes. If that's when it occurred. I mean, if it's a recent injury, then you use the most recent date.
Well, right. How long do I have to make sure I file this form?
You have 3 years.
So if this injury occurred within 3 years, I mean, at best of my recollection, I can still file this form?
Yes.
Excellent. Didn't know that. Outstanding.
Now, key point here is 3 years and 1 day, you're out of luck. So make sure it's and keep in mind also that 3 year limit. All right. If you're going to file it close to that 3 year mark, make sure you file it before your day off. Cause they won't, if you file it on your day off, they won't count it. You'll have exceeded your time limit. Because you should have filed it, according to them, the day after you came back to work, put you over your limit.
Okay. So I just wanted to make sure that we were crystal clear on you have 3 years to file this form. Now, again, I'd like to say we hope it don't take that long, but believe it or not, I'm actually being introduced to employees around Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky who have been injured at work. And management never offered any forms. Management never told them about any forms. And now when they file a claim 2.5 years ago, now management appears to be shocked. So I just wanted to really drill that point in that you have 3 years to file this form. And if there are circumstances such as you didn't know, you were not aware, that's going to really be a benefit when we start writing statements. I'm sorry, Robert. Go ahead and pick up on the time.
Okay. Number 11 is date of this notice, meaning the day you're filling this form out or faxing it in. 12 is employee's occupation. That means what is your job title? Cause of injury is number 13. describe what happened and why it happened. I'll give you an example with using my own case. I was pulling a loaded pallet jack. The skid that I was pulling was overloaded with letter trays, and the wheel broke on the jack. It jerked my left shoulder and neck severely enough that it actually fractured the vertebrae. Plus, gave me, you'd think I'd remember what the injury actually was to my shoulder. I can't place the injury at the moment. Rotator cuff. Tore my rotator cuff in six places. So it was a pretty traumatic injury. And at first, I just felt like, you know, all right, I strained a muscle and I kept on working. I did notify my supervisor and I told her, I don't want to go to the doctor. It doesn't seem to be that severe. 2 hours later, I could barely move my arm. The pain was so intense. And yes, I did demand to go see a doctor then. And describe why. I mean, in my case, the wheel broke on the pallet jack. Okay? It wasn't like I was doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing, like pulling three carts, three APCs or something like that, which we all know we're not supposed to pull, especially that many. but we do anyway. All right. But describe and be truthful. Don't be afraid of saying, okay, I was pulling three APCs of mail and I twisted something. All right. Yes, you were in the wrong, but chances are you're probably told to do that. So be truthful and explain what happened. Now, this line is not very big. So if there's a lot of information you need to put on it, put as much as you can on this line neatly. And then take a blank piece of paper, put your name, if you have a case number, put the case number, the date, and question number, in this case 13, and then finish making your statement. Each time you have to use more space than is allotted on one of these questions, just add it to that same piece of paper saying question number 14, or whatever the question is. Okay, and then put
and we would help, and we would help you with that also.
Yes, and 14 is nature of injury. Identify both the injury and the body part. I mean, you fractured your left leg, you tore your left rotator cuff, and whatever else. Okay, excuse me. To the right of that is a colored in box. Says occupational code at the top. That's not for you. That's for workers' comp. 15 is the employee signature area, and it says, I certify under penalty of law that the injury described above was sustained in performance of duty as an employee of the United States government, and that it was not caused by my willful misconduct, intent to injure myself or another person, nor by my intoxication. And note, intoxication does not necessarily mean alcohol. It means any form of drugs. Anything that could impair your ability to function safely. I hereby claim medical treatment if needed and the following as checked below while disabled for work. A, continuation of regular pay, COP, not to exceed 45 days, and compensation for wage loss if disability for work continues beyond 45 days. If my claim is denied, I understand that, the continuation of my regular pay shall be charged to sick or annual leave or be deemed an overpayment within the meaning of number 5 USC 5584. That's the code for workers' comp, one of them. And essentially what that means is if workers' comp denies your claim, they're going to tell you you're going to have to use your leave or your sick leave or you're going to have to pay it back. Now, you can file an appeal. In fact, I highly recommend that you do. You may have to file several, but keep pestering them for it. All right? And B
Hey, Robert,
is...
Robert,
yes.
one second. When we talk about that block A,
yeah.
As I read this, am I reading that once I fill this form out, the CA-1, and I'm going to be out of work, let's say, for 20 days. my continuation of pay is automatic. And if the claim is denied, then they transfer it to sick leave or consider it overpayment. But it's an automatic payment. Is that not correct? I mean, I know that's not what happened, but is that not what that's saying?
If the supervisor did their job properly, yes, it's an automatic payment. If they did not do their job properly, no. You have to follow up and make sure you're going to get your COP.
Okay.
All right, because, you know, some of the supervisors that we're seeing now are new, literally new to the post office, new as supervisors, and they may not have all their training yet. Post office way. Okay. Well, here, he'll pick it up on his own. Yeah, right. Sorry, I don't mean to be sarcastic or snide, but...
Oh, this is Hodge, you know. Hodge podcast. I encourage that. I encourage it.
Right. And again, I'll use an example from my own experience. I didn't know anything about COP until 5 days before my 30-day expiration date for it. You have to file within 30 days to claim it. And then from that point, you get 45 days of continued pay. Right? 5 days before it was due to run out, my HRM notified me saying, hey, you haven't filed for your COP yet. It's going to run out. I said, what is COP? Because nobody told me. So,
and what we're talking about is from your date of injury, you can get paid full pay up to 45 days. What happens is, say, for example, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Not from your date of injury, 3 days after.
Well, I was going to say the first 3 days you have to take some type of leave, annual or sick. Then your COP kicks in. But it's very interesting, again, when you get down to that block A and B, if you check block A, as I read this, your pay should not be interrupted.
No.
I know nobody could ever say that box B, you're saying you don't want the COP, you're going to use your own leave.
Please never do that.
I mean, it don't make sense only because if you go with box A all the time, if they pick up your – if for whatever reason your claim is denied, then it can be reverted over to using your leave. But if you just bypass the possibility of continuation of pay, that's just not a good decision. I'll leave it like that.
Yeah. And workers' comp will not pay you until that 45-day period has expired, whether you've claimed it or not. They won't start paying you until that 45 days has expired. So you may lose 45 days worth of pay, even if they approve your claim.
Yeah. And those are some of the little nuances, again, that we want to share with you so that and hopefully you share with somebody else because I don't know about anybody else. But I would be, just a little upset to find out that I just lost 45 days of pay because I didn't understand which box I was going to check.
Yep.
And one other thing about this form, I may have been remiss in my opening. This form that we're talking about right now is for traumatic injuries, okay? Because there's another form we may not have time to get to of occupational illness, but this is for traumatic injuries. You know what happened, when it happened at work. That's considered a traumatic injury, as opposed to an illness that took place over time. So I just want to get right back to the CA-1. Again, we're talking about filling out a CA-1 Federal Employee Notice of Traumatic Injury and Claim. Sorry, Robert. Go ahead and pick up.
All right. Now, below box B, which is your sick or annual leave, and by the way, you do have the option of taking the sick or annual leave and then later buying it back. But I think it's only a 30-day time window. I honestly don't remember on that one. But you do have the option. Workers' comp will let you buy it back. But I don't know how much they give. In other words, it's going to be a discounted rate you won't get the full amount back. In other words, if you use 30 days of your sick leave and you buy it back, they're only going to give you about 20 days back. But it comes out of your paycheck. Below that, it says, I hereby authorize any physician or hospital or any other person, institution, corporation, or government agency to furnish any desired information to the U.S. Department of Labor, Office of Workers' Compensation Program, or to its official representative. This authorization also permits any official representative of the office to examine and to copy any records concerning me. Please note, this says Office of Workers' Compensation. It doesn't say post office. All right. Now, the post office is supposed to get a copy of this particular form, but there are other forms they're not supposed to have, and we'll go over those in another call. Then below that is your signature or the signature of the person that's acting on your behalf and the date. The date has to be the date you're sending it in. You cannot fill this out and date it on Friday and send it in on Monday. Workers' Comp will send it back to you saying, give us a correct date, which will be whatever day you resubmit it. And with all government forms, the next paragraph is any person who knowingly makes any false statement, misrepresentation, concealment of fact, or any other act of fraud to obtain compensation as provided by FICA, or who knowingly accepts compensation to which that person is not entitled, is subject to civil or administrative remedies, as well as a felony criminal prosecution, and may, under appropriate criminal provisions, be punished by a fine or imprisonment or both. All right. Very important that you be truthful. You don't want them to come back and say, you lied to us. We're going to charge you with this, and you're going to have to pay $10,000, or we're going to put you in jail for 10 years. You don't want them doing that to you. Then there's witness statement. That's line 16. Your witness should fill this information in according to this on this form, but what you really need to do is have him fill it in on a separate piece of paper, and again, put witness statement. If you have your case number, if they've approved it, put that on there, the date, and your name, and then question number 16, okay, so that they can go back and say, okay, that's what this is for. Some of these workers' comp caseworkers are like some of our people. They're new. They still don't have it all down pat. And when they don't see something that they've been trained to look for, they ignore it and say you didn't provide it, even though you may have. All right. And then the next page on the CA1 is your supervisor's report. Your supervisor has to fill in this page. Now, the only thing that you really probably should fill in for them is the name and address of your doctor. Supervisor fills all of this page in and submits it. Now, if you're smart, you'll make them give you a copy of it. You want to know what they said, because in my case, my supervisor lied. She flat out said it was my fault. Because I didn't keep the floor clean. All right.
No, didn't lie.
I mean, no, the wheel broke because there was too much weight on the pallet jack. There was nothing on the floor for it to cause the wheel to break. But she said Robert didn't keep the floor clean.
Yes.
So
Robert,
and I didn't
Robert's
know it.
Maintenance too.
Yeah, and I didn't know it because I submitted all the stuff I was supposed to. I didn't know that I should have gotten a copy of this. I didn't find out until another supervisor gave me a copy of it. And then I went on the warpath. The supervisor who lied about me to this day will not speak more than 3 words in any sentence to me.
And also, when we talk about your doctor's address, very, 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 very important. You got to understand, the day, if this injury happened at work and they had to take you to an emergency room, Okay, that's initial care, initial treatment. You're not forced to go to any doctor the post office sends you to. You find your own doctor. Now, you can go where they want to send you, but far too often I hear people say, well, the post office made an appointment for me at... No, you make your own appointment. You see your own doctor after that initial visit.
Yeah.
So, again, nobody can take you to...
Yeah, if you go to the emergency room that the post office provides you. Now, you're going to have a choice of three locations because the ambulance crew is going to ask you where you want to go. Okay? Me personally, I would much prefer to go to OSU than any of the others that they send me to because I've been to both of the other two hospitals. And if I have my choice, I'll never go back to them. I will not go to Riverside or whatever that other one was over there. All right. So, yeah. And if you're a veteran, tell them to take you to the VA hospital if you trust the VA clinic. Again, you know, I'm a veteran. I have to deal with the VA. I'm not fond of them either. Now, block 32 is name and address of the physician first providing medical care, including street address and zip code. So if you go to an emergency room that the post office arranges, that's fine. Just make sure you get the address and the name of the physician and the city, state, and zip code. And then that's all you have to do on that second page of the CA-1. The third page of the CA-1 is your receipt from your supervisor.
Very important.
Make them give it to you. Make them fill it out and give it to you. Even if they don't fill out their portion of the CA-1, because they may not have time to do it immediately when you take it into them. All right. But make them sign the receipt.
Let me also add on that receipt issue. That is vital. Because let me tell you, if the agency don't file these reports timely, then they are penalized by workers' comp, by FICA, excuse me, OW. I'm sorry. If they don't file these reports timely, they're penalized. Your receipt validates the date that you gave it to the post office, and I'm not certain. It's either 20 or 30. I'm sorry, it's 10 days after they get it. Is that not correct, Rob? Or they have to have?
I believe it's 10.
To?
Yes.
So if you don't have this receipt, this could possibly sit on someone's desk for about 15, 20 days. But if you have this receipt and they don't file it timely, and I will get back to you on the exact number of days, then they can be cited for impeding your claim. So if you just do what we're supposed to do and be attentive to the paperwork that you're filling out, we'll force them to do what they're supposed to do. And when I say force them, if the post office understands that you're following up on your claim, you're taking notes, you're getting copies of your medical documentation, they understand that if they don't do it properly, you're going to have sufficient documentation to create a problem for them. And when they understand that, in those few instances, they'll try to do the job right. So when you fill that CA-1 out before the supervisor leaves, before you leave it with the supervisor, regardless of if he fills out their part or not, you ensure that you have that receipt part and that you walk away with. Hey, listen, we only had a half hour set up for the podcast tonight, and we didn't get a chance to get to our CA-2, but it just gives us a topic for another show. Listen, folks, the information that we put now is vital, and it's not even top secret information. It's not even private information. All we have to do is go to the Department of Labor website. All this is printed out. So I don't pretend to say Robert and I are inventing a new. No, this is basic knowledge, but basic knowledge that postal management refuses to follow. Okay, so we have to be a little smarter, and again, Robert makes himself available at all different times. He's got his phone number. Anything that we can do to assist you with ensuring your claim is processed and you are compensated as per federal guidelines, then that's what we're here to do. Hey, this is Ken Hodge. I thank everyone for calling in on the podcast tonight. Again, every Tuesday, 7:30.
Can you get Rob's number?
I'm sorry?
Can we get Rob's number?
Hey, Rob, go ahead. Want to put your number on?
Yeah. My home phone number is 614-354-1369. And I also work in the transportation office right now. That number is 614-472-0672. And that's usually the better one to get me between 10 a.m. and 6 p.m.
Hey, Rob, that PA-20 you sent us, we can't get that pulled up. This is Frank.
I'm sorry?
It's PA-20. You say you're going to email it to me?
Actually, I did. I mailed it probably 10 minutes after we got off the phone because I found it.
You pull it out of the computer.
We couldn't pull it out.
Can we get a copy? Can we come down and get a copy tomorrow?
Oh, certainly.
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yes.
We call you.
We need more time, Kenny. I can't ask a question.
Hey, you know what? You know what?
I couldn't even get a word in.
Wait a minute. Go ahead. What's your,
no,
go
that's
ahead.
Right. No.
Watch this. I just added 15 more minutes. Go ahead.
Okay, my question is, you talking about the CA telling how you say you can't hit block. The wrong block, you know, or you won't get continuous of pay. How
right.
is anybody going to know that who don't know? I mean, and then get held accountable for it. Is there a way they can have someone, when accidents occur, that they have a person who knows the rules come also?
Well,
is that
I mean,
anywhere in there?
It's really not in there, but we're trying to make it available to people. And one of the ways that we make it available is again through shows like this and through questions like this. If you now know and I now know, and then we start spreading the word to people, you know, again, and one of the best ways to do it is again to come on, ask your questions, and then we try to share information that way. But a direct answer to your question is no, that don't exist right now. As far as when you get injured, it's just usually you and that supervisor, and they don't know. But once I find out about it, if you're in Columbus, then me or Rob are not long from you to make sure that if you need guidance, we're here for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, their supervisor is not going to mention us because they don't want us involved.
We already know that, yeah.
Okay. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Okay. My question is, as Ken was using as an example, my case happened almost 3 years ago. And with my department, we do have certain documents to show the date that you performed this work. So I know I performed the work before I went to the doctor. I just don't know the last exact day. So the date that I went to the doctor was a day off. So if I use the date of my last day to work, what if they pull out documents to say, well, you didn't even carry that back in that day, so how can it be that day? I'm just afraid that they're going to try to use documentation against me, and I'm scared to put the wrong date down. I know the month and the year, I just don't remember the actual date.
Well, now, again, if we don't have the exact date, then we would put a I don't know how will we date that, Rob. I'll put an estimated date on there and put a note in there that during the week of.
Yeah, that's what I would do. I would put, that's exactly it. Put the week of. Because you know you carried it sometime during that week.
Right.
And what about the time if I don't have a time?
Then leave it
blank. My work hours, six. Okay, leave it blank.
Yeah, yeah, use your work hours.
Yeah, just put the work, your tour hours, your begin to end tour. So it would read the week of from 6 to 2:30. Now, again, if they wanted further explanation on it when they got it, then we would have the ability to embellish on that and explain why. Because, first of all, again, if we're talking about filing a claim that long, there may be questions. But if you have, if we're certain that that happened and you were never afforded the opportunity, then we're just going to file this CA-1 and let it take its course, and I'm sure it's going to work out fine. Well, it's going to work out fine for you. Your supervisor might have some issues to answer as far as why you were never even given these forms.
Okay.
And that goes back to line number 15 on your CA-2.
Mm-hmm.
Put down there that you were not, your supervisor did not give you the opportunity to see a doctor on the date of injury.
So do I just make a little asterisk note down there somewhere?
Yeah, if necessary, put it on another piece of paper.
Oh, you said on the CA-2.
CA-2, yeah, line 15.
I'm sorry. Okay, what should I say on there?
My supervisor did not afford me the opportunity to see a doctor, nor did he fill out the proper accident report.
Okay.
That's what I was trying to remember when I talked to you earlier.
Okay. And it's called an accident report, right? Not incident?
Yes. Yeah, accident report.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
We have any additional questions?
No, we're fine.
Okay. And again, I welcome everybody for coming on. And next time I'll just set the show up for a full hour. And again, these are the settings where we talk about real situations and we gain knowledge and power from it. It's like we grow together, so to speak.
And also, I want to point two things out. Most of your coworkers don't know Kenny and I do this. Right? Word is slowly getting around. But if you know somebody who's been hurt, have them contact one of us so that we can try to help them. And the other thing is, they're going to ask, how much do they charge? Because I've been asked that question.
Yeah.
Kenny and I do not charge for this. We do this voluntarily.
And I also like to add that we have, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I said that's good. Thank you.
I said good too.
Yeah, we have. I have also kind of joined up with another free agency out of Kansas City, OWCP Consultants, and sometimes they'll join us on a podcast. In fact, they do their own podcast on Wednesday night. Sarojini and Chris, the genie and Chris, they have a podcast also. So, I understand how important it is for you to work at the post office and then get hurt and not be represented. I understand that importance. And if I can do anything, I'm serious. When I say if I can do anything, that means putting together people who understand the process so we can help more people. That's what I mean by anything. To make sure we get educated on these situations that affect are live, I'm going to do that. And I don't know anything other than to do that. So all I ask is participate and let's grow this so that everybody gets this knowledge, man, because it's very important.
I want to clarify one other thing in that, and I know Kenny bites his tongue every time I say this. Kenny is primarily fixated with the Mail Handlers Union. And while I am in the Mail Handlers Union, I also help the clerks. I help any federal employee. It doesn't have to be post office. I've got two people I'm helping right now who actually work for the DFAS. All right. So I'm there for any federal employee. I cannot help with state because that's a whole different ball of wax, and it's a lot more complicated than federal. But yeah, if it's a federal employee, I'm quite willing to help them. Now, one drawback to that is I cannot technically help them during working hours because I have to limit my time for postal employees during working hours. But I will help them after hours.
Okay. Hey, that's going to be our show for tonight. I thank everybody.
All right, Ken, bro.
Thank you.
All right, y'all have a wonderful evening. And again, every Tuesday night, 7:30, meet us right here. Good night.
All right.
Thank you, everybody.
All right, man.
All right, good night.